Good morning.
Good morning.
This is the first Sunday I've had sweaty palms in quite some time, I will say. It's nice to know that you can come home again, and I will warn you that when I get all your energy, it will make me cry, because I'm just so happy. I am so happy to not only see your faces and know so many of your faces, but I took you with me, and I come, see, and I come home, and I remember you, and I call you by name. And it's also nice to see that some things haven't changed. Y'all are still allergic to the front row. Wise you are, because it was on that seat that I had the call to ministry. I'm sure it was the fact that I had averted the call to ministry, but that day, that Sunday, and those of you who know, there was four generations of my family in this church. My grandmother, my dad's, my husband and I, and our three children. And none of them came to church with me that day, so that I would sit there by myself and unmistakably receive the call to ministry. In a way that Reverend Ellen Devenport says we cannot ignore and we cannot miss it, misinterpret it. So thank you for having me. Thank you for hosting me. And I'm glad we didn't have to have a life-threatening event or COVID to get in my way of coming. So Leah asked me to just stick with the daily word, and I was like, yeah, Leah, I'm not going to do that. But then it turned out that the daily word was simplicity, and today's talk title is Kiss and Tell. You all know what K-I-S-S is, right? What is it? Silly, stupid, spirit. Keep it simple, spirit. And when we realize just how simple our practices are, when we realize how simple our principles are, I often wonder why we don't tell. Why we don't tell the world that we in Unity have found the key to internal peace and harmony, and we have the tools that we live by that are so needed beyond the four walls of the sanctuary, right here and right now, right? So it is a title and is also an invitation for you all to remember how simple it is to live in alignment with Spirit and to tell everyone, especially your enemies, especially your in-laws, especially your boss or your children, and thank you, God, mine are grown. And I remind them, it's simple, and it's not always easy. So let's get into it. We talk about in Unity how we have five principles, right? Can you tell them to me? Right? It's okay. No one can. Unless you've been in ministerial school, no one can. So I'm going to offer you the youth rendition today, and maybe you'll take one or two to memory out into the world of simplicity. So we all know number one, God is, right? God is, and you can put a period on that. God is everywhere present, and we call that energy, that universal principle, good, right? That's the principle. What I have determined and deduced over the years is we have one principle and four practices inside that principle. So we go from God is all to I am. I am it too. I was created with the divine light and the spark of divinity that we call externally God and good in here. God is, I am. Say it with me. God is, I am, right? And we also say that we create the experience of our reality by the thoughts we hold in our mind. So we think. God is, I am, I think. I think. Beyond that, when we lose our religion, we lose our practice of principle, we go to prayer. That's an activity, yes? It's not a principle. Principle is gravity. It keeps us on the ground, and it works the same for you and you and you as it does for me. But the practice of prayer. So God is, I am, I think, I pray. And when I pray, I listen for what is mine to do. My word or my phrase is, when I don't know, I don't go. So if I don't know what is mine to do, I don't start pedaling my feet just for the sake of doing something, which is against my nature, by the way. So God is, I am, I think, I pray, and I do. I do what's before me, right? With clarity and with confidence. And that's going to be very important. I'm going to stay right here. Very important as we move through the lesson today. Confidence is key. So I got to thinking and praying. I entrained my energy here to wonder, what does it feel like to be at Unity of Wimberley right now? And what does it feel like to have had a wonderful leader in Reverend Jill and to have sent her on the way to her next journey? And God, let me listen and know what it is that this community needs to not learn, but maybe be reminded of for today and for the days to come as you too set forward in your next leg of the journey as a community, but most definitely as individuals. So when I went to prayer, when I got still and I listened, I heard steadiness, stillness, and faith. So my message is to bring a message of steadiness, stillness, and faith. Simple, right? Well, to know what it is to be a minister, at least in my really rounded years of 3 years, is that I can't teach a lesson without that lesson coming right here for me. And stupidly, or maybe simply, I started thinking about this about 3 weeks ago. Like, no pressure, I'm going home. I hope I do a good job. Let me think about Wimberley, 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 stillness, stillness, simplicity. So I was met with every opportunity to stay still in the face of adversity, in the face of I can't find my keys, in the face of, Mom, I need $100 to pay my electric bill. The things that I can't quite control. Now, in YOU, we have an icebreaker when we go to rallies. And I was the YOU leader here for a few years. And that icebreaker is, to know me is to know that I. And you fill in the blank with something that maybe not everyone in the room knows about you. Well, before I was Reverend Maggie, I was a program director. I was a marketing director. I managed enormous projects. And so to know me is to know that I always have a plan. You know what God says when we have a plan? Well, I always have a plan, and then I have a backup plan, and then I have a contingency plan for that backup plan just in case. Just in case. And it really isn't a function of being OCD and a control freak. I have an ADHD brain, so I need to know where things are, where I need to be, what's expected of me when I get there, and I need to have all my stuff where I can see it when I arrive. I know, it's really convenient. So a few weeks ago, I knew I was coming here. I had my plan all summed up, and I'm married to a person who never travels for work. Never. Never. And I get a, hey, I have to go to Georgia next week, right when you're getting ready to head to Texas. Oh. And when are you leaving, and how am I going to get to the airport, and when are you back, and how are we going to get the cars transferred, and what? Yeah, right? ADHD brain. Well, that all worked out, but then the garage door arm broke and my car was in the garage and he wasn't home, so I can't get out of the garage. That was a lot of fun. And then we managed to avert that crisis and I got to church last Sunday and my lead sound engineer said, "Hey, Rev, I got to tell you something." And I was like, "Oh, Lord, I know this look. When?" And he said, "My job is moving me to Austin." And I said, "It's a terrible place. You don't want to go to Austin." But we send him and celebrate him on his way. But now I've had one disruption in my plan, and my contingency plan is in effect. And then I couldn't get out of the garage. And now someone who is instrumental in the way the world works for me on a Sunday is leaving. And today is his last Sunday, and I'm not going to be there to say goodbye. So here's that, right? Here comes the unsettling, the I don't know if I'm down with this, and am I going to settle in and know that it's all okay, or am I going to rear up and my hackles out and start to tell anyone who gets close to me in a nonverbal way how upset I am because my plan and my plan and my plan has not gone according to plan. Right? Can you relate? Am I up here all by myself? So in that experience, I got really frustrated. And when I get frustrated, I get snappy. And I tell, you know, one word answers. Is this okay? Yes. Do you need anything? No. What do you want for dinner? Right? I don't want to even participate because I'm in the storm of what I can't control. Now, some of you have been around for a long time, but this is a practice that we continue to be presented with in order to master it, right? So it's relevant. When I get in that place, what happens to me? My vision gets warped, right? I don't see clearly. I don't think clearly. I need to get a quick contingency plan, but nothing is logical or makes sense, and it's not convenient for everyone else. I need to pull in the last second to make it okay for me. So then I get more frustrated, and I get more frustrated, and I get cloudier vision, and it just is not pleasant. It is anything other than being a poised, centered, life-affirming, divine orders in effect, God's in charge, I'm a conduit of spirit, right? I am the anti-poise. I am frayed and frazzled and don't feel good in my own skin, so then I wonder why no one wants to come around me, because I don't feel good in my own skin, so why wouldn't you want to be around me to make me feel better? Because I don't feel good to be around either, right? So that's a cue, a clue for us to check ourselves. When people are like, maybe my energy has been disrupted in the anti-poise. So because spirit works the way it does, very simply, I sat down to pull my thoughts and my notes together for today. And I did one search at truthunity.net, and I must have misspelled power, and it popped up poise. And I thought, well, I'll click on that. And I got a full transcription of a sermon that Charles Fillmore gave on poise, power, and dominion. And I'd never once looked up poise in the revealing word, but here he gave us a definition, and he said that poise is divine balance in divine mind. And to know Charles is to know that those nuances matter, not balance with divine mind, but inside the intelligence That is divine mind. That is the universal presence principle we call God. And he went on. Now, here's the key with confidence. He went on and he says, confidence is crucial for poise. Without it, personality, aka ego, without it, personality will build upon itself its own insufficiencies, and the result is failure and weakness. So I'm going to say it again. Confidence is crucial. Without it, personality will build upon its own insufficiencies, and the results are failure and weakness. Then he goes on to say, it affects the whole system. Every faculty is involved. So there's no exception. Your mind, your body, your spirit, your chi, your relationships, your energy, your vibe. When you're out of whack, when you are not in alignment, and in alignment in divine mind, inside of the activity of poise, everything is off kilter, whack-a-doodle, yeah? And we know what that feels like. So for me, that's the definition of the perfect storm, right? Nothing looks good. I can't control this. I can't do this. I don't know where I am. I don't know what I'm to do. I don't know who I'm with, blah, 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 blah. And my mind starts, and here comes the storm. You ever created yourself a perfect storm? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Claim it. I create some really good storms. Real good ones. And they're ours to create. Well, we're not alone. We are not alone. So I wouldn't be me, and it wouldn't be Tommy Potts without getting some bobbledygook. And in Matthew 14 is where we see Jesus feed the 5,000, right? He preached for 3 days, and people came from all over, Jews and Gentiles. It was this huge uproar. He's preaching to Jews and Gentiles in mixed company, but he fed them because they didn't know he was going to preach for 3 days. I mean, they needed a nap and a snack, and we started again, but no one brought a snack. So he had his disciples feed the 5,000 with what? 5 loaves and 2 fish, right? And the disciples witnessed this. They stood in awe and amazement, in deep desperation that they were going to have an uprising on their hands of 5,000 hungry Jews and Gentiles. And he did his magic. He did his manifestation. He came poised in divine mind and fed the 5,000. And then everybody packed it up and they went on. And Jesus said, y'all go ahead. I know you're crossing the sea, but I have business. I need to get up on the mountaintop and pray. I'll catch up with you. Big miracle. Now the disciples are rowing away from the Christ. And they start to bicker, and they're tired, and they're squabbling. This is, we didn't mean to be here for 3 days. How come he talked so long? And come on, Matthew, row harder. I need some help. My arms are tired here too. And here comes the rocking of the waves. And then the clouds gathered, and the storm came. So now they're tired. They're not hungry because they were fed, but they're irritated, and they're wet, and they're cold, and they're squabbling, and they are riding inside the perfect storm. Sound familiar? And they are about to freak out when they start to see Jesus collectively, coolly walking on the water. And he's like, bros, peace, be still. Simple. In command, peace, be still. Breathe. Peace, be still. No profound lesson that had to go on for 3 days. no massive miracle, or so we would say, but three simple words, peace be still. They just saw this miracle. They just rode away, and they started the collection of chaos. They fell outside of poise. And we do that. We do exactly that. We fall outside. We get lost. We lose our way. I thought that if I went to ministerial school and did a lot of study, that maybe I'd get immune to that. But I don't. I still lose it in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the grocery store, in the middle of balancing my checkbook. I also lose it. So I want to say again that it is not necessarily easy to practice the tether to the one principle. It's not easy, but it is simple. So I want to point back to where we started. We have four practices inside the principle. One is we must realize. That is, God is, I am, I realize this. And we breathe into it. I tattooed the symbol for breathe. That's how much I need the reminder. Breathe into the alignment. Two is to regain dominion over our thoughts. Our thoughts do create the experience of our reality. So we have to flex our power and come into alignment. Three is to be willing to pray. Now, every thought is a prayer, but pray with intention and discipline so that we don't freak out on the asteroid or in the middle of the ocean or when our balancing checkbook looks a little scary, but to pray and to know and memorize that the goodness of God has got this, not for you, but with you. And finally, when you know, you go. And until you know, you don't go. It is okay to stand still. Standing still in itself is an activity, the activity of inactivity. So it's these simple steps that I was guided to remind you all of today. These steps that calm the storm and restore our poise in alignment with divine mind. And with that, they create harmonious experiences in our inner world. Peace, clear vision, understanding, compassion, and acceptance. When we can keep it simple with spirit, we are still, we are grounded, we are in faith enough to share with the outer world. So in the days, the weeks, the months ahead, personally as a community, I want you to remember to just kiss and tell, and all will be well. Let's take this into meditation. I want to invite you to take a deep cleansing breath and know that in the process of breathing and that full exhale, that you have begun the practice of your alignment in divine mind. Allow for the sensation of peace to stir within your being. Feel where you may be holding any tension, any apprehension, and send the breath into that spot in your body. As we continue to just breathe and relax and release, we start to move into the activity of harnessing our thoughts. regaining dominion over the monkey mind, the to-do list, that which is waiting for us outside of our time here, and simply just be. God is all there is, everywhere present, right here within me, right here within each one of you, resting on holy and sacred ground simply because we claim it to be so and have presented our divine being here. God is. I am. My thoughts are clear. My body is peaceful. And I rest into the knowing of this truth. Knowing that there are real life scenarios, real relationships, real diagnosis, real money, real tension out in the world. Let us operate in this moment and from this moment with the awareness that when we don't know, we pray. Through the breath, we connect in alignment with divine mind. We regain our poise. So for each one of us having our own experience in this day, in this moment, I bet it would only take a second for you to call up that which you worry. That person, that thing, that project that throws you off kilter. So my invitation is that you grab hold of it and place it right in the center of the storm that it creates with your participation, and affirm and know that God is, and I am. See if you can't infuse this person, place, or thing, this project, this thing before you with that truth. Recognizing that it starts to shake the water and gather the storm clouds, infusing it with God is. Surrounded in the stillness, the faithfulness, that right within your very being, you possess the same power to claim peace, be still. Peace, be still. So let us just take a few moments in this divine bubble that you have created with your thoughts, with your heart, with your wisdom, to infuse that which you might be anxious over with truth. God is. I am. Now, you may not have an answer today or even tomorrow or next week, but now you have opened your mind and your heart with the expectation that this be still. We go to source. We go to prayer. We keep it simple. And when we know, we go. with confidence, with ease, and with all the grace that poise allows us. For that we are so grateful, and so we release these words, knowing that as we give to the universe, give to our friends and our neighbors, our family, so do we receive. So recognize, my friends, that you are about to receive an overload of blessings, positive affirmation, upliftment, to know that all is truly well. And as we come back into this room and feel the sensation of our body and know that we're fully supported, when the creep comes in, we just kiss it. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And so it is. Amen.